God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. These words have been orbiting around in my head this week as I've watched the disaster unfold in New Orleans and in Mississippi and Alabama. We have seen great inhumanity in looting and rioting and murdering and rape, but we've seen great love too in those who reach out to help, in young soldiers who, hanging from ropes off of helicopters, are lowered down to grab and help children and women and men to be lifted off of the roofs of houses that are flooded and surrounded by water. We've seen great love in those doctors and nurses and others who've traveled hundreds of miles at their own expense to go to work in emergency field hospitals, helping to save lives. We've seen love in action, and as I've said here repeatedly, love is like faith, in that a faith that is not active is dead. Love that is inactive is dead. And love, Paul tells us, love for another, love for a neighbor, love for a fellow disciple, and love for those who do not know Jesus, love is a fulfilling of the law. Now, those words, love is a fulfilling of the law, fulfilling of the law, those words have been orbiting around in my mind, and I've been thinking about it, and it reminds me of something else I've heard. Another phrase I've heard, a similar statement I've heard from somewhere else in the New Testament. And as I was scratching my head and thinking about it, and the phrase fulfilled the law, it came to me. It's something that Jesus said. You remember Jesus? That carpenter, that rabbi from Nazareth, that wonderful man whom we follow. He said, and it's recorded in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill." Fulfill, there's that word, in connection with the law. The one who loves another has fulfilled the law. I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. That word fulfill is an amazing word. It is in English as in the language of Greek when the New Testament was written in. Plerao means to make full, means to complete, means to bring to completion, means to finish, means to bring to its designed conclusion. It means to bring to pass. I predict that Sarah is going to get up and walk over and stand right here. Fulfill it. That's why I'm doing it. She has fulfilled my prediction. She has brought it to pass. She has completed my prediction because she got up and came over and stood right here. To fulfill means to bring to completion, to bring to fruition, to complete that which was stated. When the prophets prophesied about what was going to happen, when it happened, their prophecy was fulfilled. Think about the word in English. To be filled fully is the meaning of the word to fulfill. To be filled up or completed or finished completely. Fulfilled. When I told her to get up and come and stand here, it took a moment. And then she did. She fulfilled my prediction. You may sit down and thank you. She fulfilled it. She brought it to completion. She established the illustration and the definition of the word plerao, or fulfill. She made a beautiful mental image and visible image of the meaning of that word. When Jesus said he came not to abolish the law, not to destroy it, not to overthrow it, but to fulfill it, that's in essence what he meant. His coming brought it to completion, brought it to fruition, brought it to completeness, fullness. Established it totally and completely and in multiple ways. His coming into the world and living a perfect life fulfills the demand of the law that we be perfect in the sight of God. His coming into the world to die for our sins fulfills the demandment of the law that a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, be made for our sins. His coming into the world to teach us how much God loves us by loving us and dying for us fulfills the essence of what the law calls us to do. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. He embodied, in coming into this world, he embodied the love of God. There's a wonderful hymn. We never sing it anymore, or rarely sing it anymore, but it's a wonderful hymn entitled The Love of God. And one of the stanzas goes, if we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, and every man on earth, and every man on earth a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God fulfilled totally and completely in Jesus is the essence of what he meant. The law was perfected in him, and all of its requirements were fulfilled in him. So that Paul could then say, in accord with Jesus, that love fulfills, brings to completeness, brings to fruition, brings to total presence the law. Now think about it. Look at this list that he gives us here. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. Can you love and commit adultery? You can lust, but you can't agape and commit adultery. You shall not murder. Can you love and murder? No. You shall not steal. Can you love and steal? No. You shall not covet. Now, that word means to desire for myself that which somebody else has. Results in stealing. It's an interesting idea. To covet produces stealing. To covet produces murder. To covet produces adultery. All of these sins that are all covered in the Ten Commandments, friends, these sins are not reflective of love. And when one loves with the love that God gives, when one loves as Jesus calls us to love, when one loves as Jesus loved when He came into this world and died for our sins, when one loves, one does not do these things. Hence, love fulfills, brings to completion, brings to fruition the calling and the reality of the law. And in case someone says, well, Paul here is only talking about the ceremonial law, this is the Ten Commandments, friends. You don't get more central than that. Jesus fulfilled it. Jesus brings it to completion. Jesus embodies it and fulfills it. What does that mean for you and me? Does that mean that we are free to go and do what we want? Or like those, I don't know about you, but when I was watching TV this week and watching the footage on CNN and Fox News and NBC and ABC and CBS, I wanted to do like Keaton here. I was crying. Not only was I crying, I was getting mad. You know, somebody one day said to me, you don't sound too much like a Texan. You speak with too much of an even accent to be a Texan. And when someone says that to me, I don't get angry. I get mad. There's an extra vowel in mad. Mad. When you're a Texan, it's mad. And I was getting mad. I was getting very angry. These were not humans who were looting and stealing and raping and killing. These were not humans, these were vermin. And I would yell at the TV screen, I, a minister of the gospel, I, a pastor, called to love, I would blurt out, yelling at the screen, shoot them. That is not reflective of the love of God. And yet, it's what we stumble to when faced with vermin. What would Jesus have us do? How would Jesus have us love? How would Jesus call us to respond to this situation? We have the advantage of being somewhat removed, but not very far removed, because living in our midst today are people who went through it, people who were robbed, people who were beaten, people who were raped, people whose families were murdered. We're called to reach out with love. We're called to reach out and fulfill the law with love. We're called to reach out as Jesus reached out, with grace and love and forgiveness. My friends, as horrible as 9/11 was, as awful as 9/11/01 was, this is an order of magnitude greater. This disaster. For while the speculation existed when the Twin Towers went down that maybe 10,000 people had died, it only turned out to be 3 or so. Today, we're looking at a death count that begins at 10,000 and will only go higher. We are called to love. We are called to fulfill the law as Jesus fulfilled the law. We're called to live with the grace of Jesus active within us and love one another, and especially those neighbors whom we may never see. God knew what He was doing when He had us plan our revival for this September. God knew what He was doing. He knew we needed His grace and His presence and His Holy Spirit. He knew we needed this coming revival greatly. We had no idea what was coming. God knew that we would need it. We need to be revived. Well, that's weeks from now, Greg, not that far away. And guess what? Once we're done with the revival, the need to love will still be there for months and months to come. At a FEMA and Red Cross meeting this week where they gathered us pastors together, one of the things that they told us was, you know, the best estimates are 4 to 6 months. Prepare for 9. Prepare for 9. And prepare for at least 1/3 of these evacuees to not go home. My friends, we are called to love. We are called to fulfill Paul's calling here in Romans. All of this discussion, all of this conversation throughout the letter of the Romans with regards to justification and sanctification, with regards to indwelling righteousness, with regards to imputed and imparted righteousness, with regards to how we are called to live our lives in obedient faith to the calling of Jesus, all of this material in Romans is meaningless if we do not place it into action with love. In active love. Living our faith as a people who express this kind of love. Love does no wrong. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. My brothers and sisters, we are called to love. We are called to serve. We are called to live and act in faith. And if what we are as Christians is true, if who we are is what we proclaim, children of the Father, brothers and sisters of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, if what we proclaim is true, we cannot help but love. My brothers and sisters, as we pray for the victims this week, as we pray for those who have lost loved ones, as we pray for those who are hurting and sick and homeless and hungry and naked, let us act on our prayers. Let us bring to completion and fruition the love of God in our lives by sharing it with others. Let us take that imputed righteousness and live it in imparted righteousness by imparting it to others with acts of love. Let us say no to the violence, no to the murder, no to the stealing, no to the adultery, no to the coveting, and instead, let us say yes to God. Yes to love, and yes to helping our neighbors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let God's people say and proclaim